Welcome once again to the messages of St. Jude the Apostle Anglican Church. In this Easter Sunday message, Pastor Andrew reveals the ultimate act of servanthood: Jesus' death and resurrection.
Happy Easter. Don't you just love angels? I heard a sermon years ago about angels. Almost every angel, when they pop up and appear, whether they're big or small, say, "Don't be afraid." As if, well, wasn't expecting you. You frightened the living daylights out of me. Angels don't always appear in the form that we get in the Bible or in our traditions. Remember a young lady who was quite ill. Every night before she went to bed, she would just say this short prayer, "Lord, heal me." And night after night, she would do this and no results, no effect. Then one night, as she just prayed that prayer, a man in a business suit appeared in her room and said, "We would appreciate a much more sincere prayer." And they disappeared. She got down on her knees and apologized to God and asked him sincerely to heal her, and she was healed. Isn't that incredible? For many years, we have been aware of the angels around us. We were having coffee at the coffee club in Mount Gravatt, and one of the men that we had known at Garden City was sort of there, and he popped around the corner and says, "Look, could I talk to you?" I said, "Well, yeah, welcome." And he says, "Well, I don't know whether you know it, but there are large angels standing behind you right now." And I says, "Oh yeah, we know that, you know, because, well, didn't know they were large, but we knew they were there." He said, "I just had to come and see because I saw the angel glow," which we're not sure that was. But what struck me is I thought he'd come up and put his hand on my shoulder, when he hadn't. He was about a meter away from us, and yet someone put their hand on my shoulder. And angels are there in one way or another. And they appear and they do things. They don't appear all that often, but they do things far more than we know, because they are God's agents to care and to look after us. Now, during the week, I had been doing some research on COVID and its impact, especially the impact of lockdowns upon us and how that affects us and the restrictions of freedom and just the fear that it engenders, the anxiety that it can bring. And I read a number of articles, and some of them just made me a bit more depressed than I could have thought. They were written in March last year. I really thought that was a bit early to start explaining the whole thing. And especially you want to say, look, there's no hope and there's nothing that Christianity can offer to this and all that. And as I was listening to our song and singing it, the red letters, if you don't know what the red letters mean, there are Bibles that have all the words of Jesus in red letters. Do anyone have a Bible like that? Yeah, okay. That's what the red letters mean. And Jesus does some very radical things. But he also says some very radical things. And I've watched people with their own bent, their own agenda, turn the actions of Jesus into something that totally disagrees with what he said. They talk about Jesus in dealing with the disciples' desire for the number one place, talked about being humble and being servants. And he said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And effectively, Jesus was telling disciples to serve one another, but to serve one another in the way in which God, in Jesus, has served us, Because the way in which Jesus served us was that the Son of the living God, the creator of the universe, the means by which the universe was brought into being and our planet and us, was to hang on a cross. That was what he was there to do. And time again, not only the disciples, but the devil tried to talk him out of it. You don't have to do this. They're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to care. And there's some truth in that, because it's the people of God who put him on a cross, cried, "Crucified, crucified." But as I read these articles, I just thought, well, you know, Jesus has a lot to say that challenges to the depths of our being, challenges our thinking, challenges our thoughts, challenges our traditions. None of us like the idea of hell, and in our culture, hell's a no-no, just like sin's a no-no too, despite the fact that we all do it. And yet, the essence of hell that we understand in the New Testament comes from Jesus, the very man who came to show us what the love of God is like. How merciful is our God? And he is a merciful God, and that's what Easter's about. The cross and the resurrection, about God's mercy for people who've walked away from him, done their own thing, reviled him, didn't do what he believes they should. And that merciful God gave his Son that we might not perish but have eternal life. During the Good Friday service, the whole essence of what this was about, and the fact that there is a hope, and it's a hope that actually is centered on a cross, we said these words when we came to do the recognition of the cross. We remember this day that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to set us free from sin, so that we might live to God in true holiness. The cross is not only a symbol of Christ's sacrifice for us, but a continuing power in our own lives that enables us to die to selfishness and live in righteousness. Our recognition of the cross reminds us of all that Christ has done for us, and that the power of the cross should be active in our own lives. And as we were reading that, all my tensions about what I've been reading just went. You know, men can say what they like, and men have said what they like for thousands of years, and yet the cross of Christ remains, and the power of Christ remains, and the resurrection of Christ remains. We can, in our arrogance, deny this God, but the cross reminds us again that this God entered into our lives in a very profound and dramatic way. And that when Jesus went to the cross, he went alone. Not one of his disciples were arrested, nor were they crucified with him. Even though Peter says, "I'm willing to be crucified, Lord." Then Jesus tells him, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows." And that was devastating to Peter. And I picked that up on Good Friday, that the sense that Jesus said to Peter, "The devil has asked to sift you, but I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And when you return to me, care for your brethren." And one of the essences of the cross is that it calls to us to turn from inside outside. Having been forgiven, restored and given new life by the mercy of God and the impact of what Jesus did on the cross, that his blood cleanses our conscience. We are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. whole sense of the humility that Christ took to take our sins upon himself on the cross, and then God confirming it all by raising him from the dead. And what Paul wants to get across to us, and Peter too, as they both preach to their cultures, to both the Jewish communities and the Gentiles, that God has proved that Jesus Christ is the Messiah by raising him from the dead. And Paul gives us a list of those to whom he appeared after the resurrection, including 500 people at one time. That's the only mention. We don't get a picture of that 500 in the Acts, but we certainly get it in Paul. And Paul says, just to make sure you know we're telling you the truth, there are those alive today, this is in Paul's time, who can testify to you. Yes, some of them have passed away, but not all of them. And the red letters of Jesus is that there are those who knew him. There were those who walked with him. There were those who loved him who could say, yes, I remember him saying that. Yes, I remember him teaching that. And yet in our own culture today, we want to deny the words of Jesus because those words call us to something. Deeply call us to God. Not only deeply call us to God, but give us a means by which we can truly come. A means by which our sins can be transformed, that we can be washed clean, that we can come and stand in the presence of Father God, not in shame, not in regret, but cleansed and forgiven, our sins totally washed away because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. He went there because the Son of God, the Father and the Holy Ghost, in their deliberations and in their discussion, decided this was the only way. They had tried so many different ways to bring us back, to bring humanity back into the fold, to put us back on the right track, and all failed. And so they decided that the Son of God would take human form in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus in the garden prays, Lord, can this cup be taken away? Now we don't know what God said to him, but we do know in the moment later, no, Lord, your will be done. It was the only way. The only way that we could be truly set free, truly released. Guilt gone, burdens gone, and given a freedom and a power to impact this planet for the glory of God and in the power of God and in the love of God and in the holiness of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought into our lives a promise of eternity. We thank you for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross. We thank you for his resurrection. Re-enthuse us this day, Lord, that we may go forth as a holy, forgiven people in the power of your Spirit and in your love to impact our families, our community, and our nation. For your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew by checking out our Facebook page or looking up St. Jude the Apostle on the net.